I'm dressed in record-setting time. We trip down the hall and the stairs like a breeze, whispering to each other in half-spoken sentences that somehow are finished inside our heads. We're so alive with our discovery that we can't stop giggling and hugging each other. A figurine of a little Cupid sits inside an alcove under the stairs. I want to have a bit of fun, Pippa says, pulling us to a stop. She closes her eyes, waves her hands over the cherubic plaster boy, and then he's sporting rather large breasts. Oh, that's awful, Pip, Felicity says. We dissolve in laughter. Think of the redecorating possibilities, Pippa says in hysterics. Bridget's bustling down the hall toward us. Great heavens, fix it quick, I whisper. We're falling over ourselves trying to hide the thing. I can't do it under pressure, Pippa says in panic.
Here now, what's all this fuss about?
Bridget puts her hands on her hips.
What you got there? Move aside and let me see.
Reluctantly, we obey.
What on earth is this?
Bridget holds up a statuette of the world's ugliest can-can dancer, formerly a Cupid with breasts. It's the latest from Paris, Felicity says coolly. Bridget puts it back in the alcove.
Belongs on the rubbish heap, if you ask me.
She moves on, and we're all giggles again. It was the best I could manage, Pippa says, under the circumstances. Every head turns when we arrive for breakfast and take our places at the long table. Cecily can't stop staring at Anne.
Anne, is that a new dress? She asks, between bites of her bacon.
We've come late, so there's only porridge.
No,
she answers.
Did you change your hair then?
Anne shakes her head.
Well, it's an improvement, whatever it is.
This makes the rest of the girls titter. Cecily goes right back to her bacon. Felicity puts her spoon down hard.
You're very rude, Cecily. Did you know that? I think it would be best if you just didn't say anything else today.
Cecily goes to reprimand Felicity, but no words come. She can barely speak above a whisper. Her hands fly to her throat.
Cecily, what's the matter?
Elizabeth hands her some water.
Cat's got her tongue, Felicity says, smirking. Fee, you have to give Cecily her voice back at some point,
Pippa chides as we make our way to French. Felicity nods.
I know, but you must admit, it is an improvement.
Mademoiselle Lafarge has a particularly sadistic smile on her face when we arrive. It doesn't bode well.
Bonjour, mes filles. Today we will have a conversation to test your French.
A conversation class. I am the absolute worst at this, and I wonder how long I can make myself unnoticeable. Elizabeth raises a hand.
Mademoiselle, our Cecily has lost her voice.
Has she? That was very sudden, Miss Temple.
Cecily tries again to speak, but it's useless. Anne gives her a small smile, and Cecily looks positively terrified. She buries her nose in her book.
Very well, Mademoiselle Lafarge says. Mademoiselle Doyle, you shall go first.
I'm in for it now.
Please, please, please let me keep up. My stomach's a flutter.
This may be the day that Lafarge gives me the boot down to the lower classes. She bats a question about the Seine into my court, waits for my response. When I open my mouth, we are all astonished. I'm speaking French like a Parisian, and I find I know a great deal about the Seine, and France's geography, its monarchy, the revolution. I'm feeling so cocky that I want to go on for the whole of the period, but finally Mademoiselle Lafarge recovers from her shock, breaking her own rules in the process.
That was remarkable, Miss Doyle, truly remarkable, she gasps in English. As you can see, ladies, when you are willing to apply yourselves, the results speak for themselves. Miss Doyle, today you shall receive 30 good conduct marks.
A record for my class.
Someone should probably close Martha's, Cecily's and Elizabeth's mouths before the rains come down and drown them like turkeys.
What do we do now?
Pippa whispers as we take our seats for Grunwald's instruction. I think it's Anne's turn, I say. Anne's face falls.
Me? I don't know.
Come on, then. Don't you want everybody to know what you can do?
She furrows her brow.
But it won't be me, will it? It will be the magic, like your French.
This brings a blush to my cheeks. I did get a bit carried away.
But you can truly sing, Anne. It will be you at your very best.
Anne is sceptical. She chews nervously on her lips.
I don't think I can.
We're interrupted by the arrival of the short, squat Austrian. Mr. Grunwald is usually of two tempers, foul and fouler. Today he surpasses himself, sliding right into foulest.
Cease the incessant chatter, he barks,
raking a hand through his thinning white hair. One by one, we're called to the front of the class to practice the same hymn. One by one, he criticizes us nearly to death. Our vowels are too flat. Our mouths are not open sufficiently. I crack on a high note, and he lets out with a sharp "ack," as if he's being tortured. Finally, it's Anne's turn. She's timid at first. Mr. Grunwald shouts and grumbles, which doesn't help. I'm practically willing Anne to let her voice fly.
Sing, Anne. Come on.
And then she does. It's like a bird leaving the nest, soaring high and free. We're all quiet and awed. Even Mr. Grunwald has stopped counting. He stares with a look of utter joy on his face. I'm so proud of her. How could my mother not want us to use this magic? How could she think we weren't ready for it? When she finishes, Mr. Grunwald applauds. The man whose hands have never joined together to make a clapping sound is applauding Anne. Every girl joins in. They see her differently now, as somebody. And isn't that what everyone wants, to be seen?